Good morning. Buenos días a todos y todas. Bienvenidos a todos. Welcome to all one of you. Estamos contentos que ustedes estén aquí durante este tiempo de Adviento. Permiso. We are so pleased that you are here and have joined us today in this time of Advent. Esperamos ver qué va a hacer el Señor. This is a season of waiting. We wait to see what the Lord God will do. Y gracias por venir aquí para compartir con nosotros en este viaje. Thank you so much for being here to join us in this journey. And friends, to begin this day, we are going to stand and sing number 14 in the purple, sing the storybook. Y amigos y amigos, vamos a ponernos de pie y cantar en el libro morado número 14. This morning, for our call to worship, we will hear some words from the prophet Isaiah. Ojalá rasgaras los cielos y descendieras. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Las montañas temblarían ante ti, como cuando el fuego enciende la leña y hace que hierva el agua. Oh, that you would come down and that the mountains would tremble before you, as when the fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Así darías a conocer tu nombre entre tus enemigos, y ante ti temblarían las naciones. Come down and make your name known before your enemies. Cause the nations to quake before you. Hiciste portentos inseparados cuando descendiste. Ante tu presencia temblaron las montañas. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Fuera de ti, desde tiempos antiguos, nadie ha escuchado ni percibido. Since the ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you. Ni ojo alguno ha visto a un Dios que como tú actúe en favor de quienes en él confían. No eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for the Lord.
Number 175 in the hymnal. 175. O Savior, rend the heavens. number 105 in Sing the Journey, the Green, 105.
Friends, hear these words of confession. It is never easy for us to confess our sins, O waiting God. There are hurts that we have caused our family and our friends, which we would like to forget. There are those who we believe are impossible to love, and so we just don't try. There are people who live on the edge of our society, and we ignore their cries for help. Forgive us, God, who comes near to us. When we have lost our way, please show us yours. Lead us in humility down the streets of your kingdom. Teach us your truth, so that we might be able to keep your word. Revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And yet, friends, do not be afraid. God's love is stronger, and God has promised to forgive and forget our sins. Take assurance in the knowledge that God comes near to us. And while we wait on God, God also waits on us. Please stand and let us pass the peace of Christ to one another as a congregation by saying, "May the peace of Christ be with you," and responding,
on the first Sunday of the month, we offer special blessing to those that are here that have a birthday or an anniversary. So if you have a special day like that that is in December, we invite you to come up. And if it's something really special that ends in a zero, maybe you can let us know. So would you feel like sharing what your special thing is?
It's not special. It's not that special. It doesn't end in a zero. It doesn't end in a zero or a five.
Is it a marriage anniversary?
It is.
Excellent.
It's not as special.
Yeah. Okay.
It's 24.
That's a long time.
I'm discovering what 75 will look like.
Oh. Well, it looks good on you. So. Do you guys have your anniversary?
Yeah, and my birthday.
Oh, okay. There's birthdays and anniversaries in the Epstutzman family. Okay. Friends, let's pray with these sisters and brothers. Loving God, you created all these people. We celebrate with them days of feasting. We celebrate with them times of sorrow. We give you thanks for all of their days this past year, and we pray health and blessing on them in the year ahead. Thank you for creating these people in your image, and may we cherish them. Amen. The children are invited to come forward. Mildred Schrock is going to give children's time for you today, and I'm going to help Mildred with her microphone.
Good morning. It's nice to see you here. And we're going to talk about what's here on the table, but first, let's pass the basket around. And if you have some money to put in, you can put it in. If you don't, just bless the basket as it goes by. And the money is going to go to the boys and girls in Benin. So that's where your money will be going. This morning is the first Sunday in December, and it's the first Sunday of Lent. And Lent is a word we don't use very often, maybe just this time of the year.
No, but it's Advent.
Advent, what did I say?
Lent.
Oh. Yes, I'm a little confused this morning. Yes, Advent. And it's when we wait for the celebration for when Jesus came. Jesus was born. And one of the ways that we celebrate, or at least that I celebrate, is by enjoying this nativity set. This came from the Philippines. It was made. Each one of these were hand-carved in the Philippines. And it's about 46 or 47 years ago that I got this. I don't know which. But I was working in Pennsylvania at that time, and I was working for a man who traveled to Asia. And he went to the Philippines. He took his wife with him. And I stayed with their children. I worked in the office during the day and then went and stayed at their house. Well, when they came back from the Philippines, they brought this for me. And who do we have here? Who's this? Who do you think that is? That's baby Jesus in the manger, isn't it? And we have Mary, his mother, here, and Joseph, his father. And then there's some other things up here. What do you think this is?
What? An angel.
An angel, yes. And the Christmas story, you probably know. There was an angel. Well, there were lots of angels. We only have one angel here in this nativity set. But there were lots of angels, and they came to the shepherds. And here are the shepherds with their sheep, and they came to them. The angels told them that there was a baby born in Bethlehem, and they should go to Bethlehem and see this baby. And so They went, and there was somebody else who came to see the baby Jesus. And that was three wise men. Well, we don't really know how many there were, but they brought three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we just kind of assume there were three wise men. And what's this?
A camel.
And that's what the wise men came, when they came to see baby Jesus, they came on camels. So we have the camels, we have the wise men, we have the angel, and we have the shepherds and the sheep, and most important, we have baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. So I like to have this out at Christmas time, and it reminds me of what we're doing, why we're celebrating. Let's just leave it, shall we? And why we're celebrating. So perhaps you might have a nativity set at home. It probably doesn't look like this. In fact, there are many different kinds of nativity sets. But you can think about what it means for you. All right, let's pray before you go back. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world as a baby, and you came to love us and to live in our hearts. And I pray that you will bless these children, give them, keep them safe as they go to school and in all of their activities. And we pray that they will grow up to learn to love you and to know that you love them and that you are always with them. Amen. Okay, you may go back.
Today we will be hearing from our own Pastor Francis. She's bringing the word that the Lord has placed on her heart today to us.
We're getting the nativity in order here.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to have that ready. All right, would you all join me in prayer, please? Waiting God, thank you for this word that you have placed on Pastor Francis's heart. Please be with us as we hear these words from her. Give us time to process and hear and understand the message that you intend for us to hear. Amen.
Amen.
So far, it feels like a very cheery morning. But in fact, when we look at the scripture, when we look at the scripture from Isaiah that we hear today, our Advent season begins with lament. Not a word of special sales or deals or cheery carols or twinkling lights or even the inflatable lawn ornaments. All these are outside our walls today. And I love Christmas lights. Ron and I were beavering away yesterday with extension cords and timers and strands of lights. So why can't we find the timers from last year? I believe lights add real cheer to our gritty corner, to the wide assortment of people who walk by, to the city traffic which continually deposits cigarette butts in my flower beds, to the emergency vehicles streaming by. Songs and festivities can cheer hearts and make a neighborhood a welcoming place where people build a sense of home and belonging. But they don't tell the truth. They can't tell the truth about the world. Advent comes to tell the truth. Advent is strong enough to name our real world. And today, Advent begins with lament, with a community lament from the prophet Isaiah. Our Advent table is draped in purple and blue, the colors of remorse and penitence, the colors of the sky before dawn, the darkest time of night, the brilliance of the sun still under the horizon. The banner Janice designs reminds me of darkness, homes in the darkness below the dark sky, light tumbling, will it come, will it enter, light tumbling toward our dark neighborhoods. In the darkness, we light one candle, one flame. It takes Advent, the shape of the Christian year, to be strong enough to name what is true, what is wrong, and to look the state of our world in the face. And then with Isaiah, today call to God, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and fire causes water to boil. Oh, that you would come down to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Imagine the nations trembling. Imagine God's presence arriving like fire in all the halls of power around the world. What a prayer. A lament is a prayer that cries out to God. It is not just the venting of our frustration and loss and brokenness, but in praying the prayer, there is the hope that God hears in the midst of all human hopelessness. It's not a scholarly argument, and it's not meant to be logical. It's not balanced, but it's one-sided. Laments are poetic protests against pain and appeals for intervention. Today, calling for fire as a pillar leading the people out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. Fire and quaking mountains recalling Mount Sinai. Moses meeting God, the people meeting God on the mountain. Fire licking up water as Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal, revealing God's power and presence to the people. Fire making ordinary water change form. Do it again, God. Come down. When you did ops some deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him.
awesome things we did not expect. Praying to God for mighty acts of deliverance is human and a genuine response to the pain and suffering in our world, the suffering of our neighbors, and in our own lives. This prayer to God on behalf of the people takes place in the context of a real world where things are not going well. Things we did not expect are remembered and recalled. The unexpectedness of God's mercy. Have you seen it? Have you felt God's mercy? God's loving kindness is part of the big story that includes Isaiah and his people, extends to us, and now into the time beyond. The beauty and impact of the story of the Messiah came full of surprise at God's new work. No one imagined such a thing. Can we continue to hope for awesome things? When all hope seems lost, and the chasm and the distance between God and God's people seems too wide, the prophet on behalf of the people makes a profession and tells God, "You are a surprising God who works for those who wait. A God turned toward humans, in relationship with them and working on their behalf, still working on our behalf." But the truth of the lament continues, and Isaiah turns to name the part of the prayer that is confession. "You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. They have called for God to come down, to fix the world gone wrong, to come with power and might. But there is a problem. It's not only the world out there that's a mess. The circumstances and other people. The people themselves are the problem. We are the mess. You were angry, and we sinned. You hid yourself. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed." I understand the translation of exactly what this means here is a little fuzzy. The prophet seems to be blaming God. God is hidden, and it's not an idea we're comfortable with, but they have lost track of God. And I think, you know, there's a point here. We seem to have no chance sometime. We sin, and the scriptures we have now point out that the teachers and leaders, the Pharisees and priests, seem to have the worst sins. The world has been set up in such a way that humans will always fall into sin. Isaiah says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. The world is broken, and we are broken. A lament for the world and a lament for our own souls. One translation of filthy cloth is a menstrual cloth, an image of uncleanness in the Old Testament. Women were isolated at the time of their period, untouchable. But it is also a sign of lost potential for life, possibility discarded, blood without life. Life without an environment to grow. The longest night and the shortest day of the year is ahead. The leaves have withered and fallen, and the grass is fading to brown. Well, that could be the end of it. We sinned. The trouble is deserved. You have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. But the prayer does not give up. We are delivered into the hand of our own iniquity. But yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. And you are our potter, and we are the work of your hand. Clay can be shaped. We aren't done yet. We're still being formed. God is forming us toward beauty and purpose. The God of fire and energy, now the guiding hand and sure touch. You are our Father, we are the clay, pots, vessels made from clay, earth, and dust of the ground. When an artist fashions a piece of art, something of the artist is bound up in that art. Whatever else is true, whatever is wrong, there is this truth. This was our beginning, the source. Remembering now the first touch, the beginning. God bends to earth, scoops the dust of the ground, clay. The vessel will live. James Weldon Johnson, in his epic poem, The Creation, says it like this. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, the potter. This great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life. Till he shaped it in his own image, the potter and the clay, the artist and the creation, treasure in clay jars. So Isaiah makes a petition. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. Hope. He finds hope. Don't be furious, Yahweh. How could God fail to be angry at Israel for its rebellious behavior? The prayer is simply that God will not be exceedingly angry. If God will do that, there's hope for redemption. And if not, there is no hope. Neither remember our iniquity forever. The prophet simply asks that God will not remember the sins forever. If God can do that, then there is hope that relationship with God might one day be restored. Yet, O Lord, whatever else has happened, hope blooms. Yet, O Lord, we are all your people. Hope in the lament. The lament is real, and the hope is real. Whatever your personal disaster, your loss, your failing, the worst you have done, the worst that has been done to you. Whatever the horrors that haunt, nuclear war, global warming, broken relationship, if your own walk with God has been shaky or non-existent, receive the words of the ancient prophet Isaiah. Rest in the hand of the potter. Like a child after the tantrum or the screaming or the rebellion, softly folds into the arms of the parent, so know that God waits with the final place of warmth and safety. We are all the work of your hand. Now consider, we are all your people. Would not such a God take care of us? Protect us not only from our enemies, but also from ourselves and our own path towards sin? Still, we can call on God to come. But Isaiah, from the image of the Lord as a divine warrior who comes bursting out of the heavens, the prophet Isaiah brings the prayer to a different place. God as artisan, a potter working, molding, fashioning in a continuing way this broken people. Receive two words from the psalm reading for today, from Psalm 80. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. And then the reading from the New Testament, from Paul in 1 Corinthians 1, as we are now the people of God going forward. He writes, the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end so that you may be blameless, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Today we gather these scriptures. We hear these scriptures like shafts of light. Light in the darkness. God did come down. God's face is not hidden from us. We are all God's people as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Revealing in our world now, today, in Elkhart, and revealing in the coming of God's kingdom on earth. There really is a holy plan, and it is happening right now, and you are called to participate in the miraculous unfolding of Advent, the holy work of Advent. Amen.
Turn and sing the story to number 115. Beauty for Brokenness, 115.